Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Today, it's our privilege to share what we have in common. That's why we call the Lord's Supper communion. It celebrates our ultimate commonalities in receiving the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But here's the point of this moment. I want you to let this simple point be embedded in your spirit. We love others as we have been loved. That's the great truth. We love others as we have been loved. There are many people who are used and abused. They've not felt loved. They've felt mistreated. And consequently, they don't have anything to give. That's why the message of this moment is so important. God wants to give you a Valentine. And His Valentine is found in John chapter 15, verse 13. There Jesus said, "No greater love has any man than to give his life for his friends." Paul amplified that great truth in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He said, "God has demonstrated His great love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." His love is unique. It is unconditional and it is unceasing. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 35, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation, persecution, nakedness, peril, or sword?" He said, "No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Why? Because nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Let that bathe your soul and spirit right now. Maybe you've come to this place and you don't feel that loved or lovely. Well, I've got good news for you. You have been loved mightily by the Lord Jesus Christ in a tangible way. And if you receive that love, you've got some love to give to others. I was reading an interesting story about a man named Brian. The story was recorded in The Blessing, which is a book by John Trent and Gary Smalley. Brian was a man who grew up in the home as the only son of a Marine Corps captain. His father was hard and disciplined. Brian told his counselor, John Trent, that no matter what he did, at least in his view of it, his dad thought it wasn't good enough. He would make a touchdown at the football game, and his dad would tell him all the things that he failed to do and did wrong. He celebrated none of his victories. He brought home straight A's, but if he didn't make 100, it wasn't good enough. So he was constantly coaching him with criticism, and that hurt this young man. When he got old enough, his father suggested that he should go into the Marine Corps and uphold that family honor and tradition. Well, Brian complied. He signed up to be a Marine, but after a few months, they kicked him out and gave him a dishonorable discharge for insubordination. He didn't respect authority because he disrespected his dad. Now this gap between Brian and his father became like the Grand Canyon. Time went by. His father lived on the West Coast in San Diego. Brian lived on the East Coast near New York City. Brian got a call saying that his father was on his deathbed, that he had suffered an aneurysm. So he jetted across the country. He hadn't seen his father in years. He prepared this speech because he wanted to reconnect. He craved his father's blessing, an expression of love, because that's how God has wired us. He made it to the hospital there in San Diego. He burst into the room just as his father passed into a coma. Brian went up to the bed. He shook the bed. He said, "Dad, Dad, you've got to hear that I love you. I'm sorry that we've been disconnected." And yet his eyes were gone and glazed and shut. And in just a few minutes, he died. John Trent's point is that we are wired to crave the love and blessing and appreciation of our fathers and our mothers. But friends, here's the good news. To get our Heavenly Father's love and blessing, you don't have to rush across the country. In contrast, He rushes to you. And He demonstrates His great love for us, and that while we were still wretched sinners, mocking Him, turning our back on Him, refusing to love Him and receive His love, He yet died for us. So I want you to embed in your mind that the cross is the ultimate Valentine. It's God writing a love letter to you that says, you matter. I care about you. As we come to the scripture, we find in John chapter 15 and in John chapters 13 through 17, Jesus is giving His disciples a last debriefing. He washes their feet and explains to them what servant love looks like. And then He gives us a definition in John 15, verse 13, of real love. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No greater love has anyone than to lay down his life for his friends." And that's precisely what Jesus did on the cross. He laid down His life for you. He rescued you. I read this marvelous story recently about a man named Ray Blankenship. Ray Blankenship from Andover, Ohio. One summer morning, he was eating his breakfast. He had some cereal. He happened to look out his picture window that faced a drainage ditch. And he noticed a little girl, 6 or 7 years old, in the water. It had been raining all week and the water was at flood tide. And he runs outside because he sees this girl is caught in the grip of these muddy, deep waters. And he also knew that just a few hundred yards down the way, the water went into a culvert and disappeared underground. He knew for sure the little girl would be drowned. So he started running for all he was worth. And he saw the little girl and she saw him, and he dove into those muddy, churning, dangerous waters. He grabbed her by the hand, and within 3 feet of that yawning culvert, he somehow grabbed a branch of a tree and he held on for everything. He held that girl tight. Some other people had seen it. They ran up and they pulled him to safety. The fire rescue people came. You know what was amazing? Here's what's amazing about Ray's rescue. The Coast Guard gave him the Silver Cross for life-saving a few months later. And the amazing thing about Ray is he couldn't swim. So he jumped into those waters fully expecting not to return. Now the Lord Jesus Christ dove into the muddy, churning waters of our human currents. And why did He do it? You see, He loves you with an unconditional, unceasing, unbreaking love. That's what the cross tells us. So how do we respond to that kind of love? How do we deal with it? How do we soak it in? Oh, we should stand in awe of what He's done for us when we see that cross, when we fully comprehend His unceasing, unconditional love. One of my favorite Valentine stories is about a little girl named Serena. Serena was 7 years old. Her father was a migrant farm worker. She came to Miss Taylor's class in January. They were moving all the time, and so this was the third or fourth school Serena had been in. She was only seven. She came in, and she was poorly dressed. She smelled bad. She was way behind in her lessons. Her English wasn't all that good. And somehow, her big brown eyes captured Miss Taylor's heart. She just fell in love with this little poor migrant farmer daughter. She saw little Serena start to grow, but the other kids tended to shun her. She smelled bad. She talked funny. They sat away from her at lunch. They wouldn't talk to her during the day. And then all of a sudden, it was February the 14th. It was Valentine's Day. Do you remember what that was like when you were in elementary school? Did you ever get a little nervous that you wouldn't get any Valentines? Did you ever read carefully how they signed it? Did they just put their name on it, or did they say, "Love, I love you"? oh, kids are so tender. And so Miss Taylor was so concerned that Serena would not get any Valentines. And at the end of the day, sure enough, she came up to little Serena's desk, and Serena was just sobbing. And Miss Taylor thought her fears were affirmed. And she said, "Serena, darling, did you not get any Valentine?" She said, "Oh, no, Miss Taylor, I got 6, and I didn't expect to get any." And those were tears of joy. Oh, my friend, when it truly dawns upon you what Jesus did when he demonstrated his great love for you while you were yet a sinner in rebellion with your back turned on your loving Lord, when you fully comprehend what he's done for you, it should evoke in your spirit the deepest sense of awesome love. Now, in just a moment, we will uncover this table and we will share communion. But I want you to see it on this special day. We only get to do this once every 7 years. I want you to see the bread and the cup as God's Valentine to you, proclaiming how much he loves you with an unbreakable, unconditional, unceasing love. John and Stuart, I invite you now to uncover that table. This is the Lord's table. And at our church, we have open communion. That simply means that you don't have to be a member of this church to receive what we have in common and to celebrate what the Lord has done on your behalf. Maybe you're watching the service at home on television. We have a lot of people who do that. Scurry real quickly over to the kitchen, grab you a wafer, a cookie, anything, and then something to drink. Don't miss the opportunity to share what we have in common in communion. So everyone who claims Christ is invited. Now let me remind you what Jesus was doing with his disciples. He had gathered them for a last debriefing in the upper room. They were sharing the elements of the Passover. It was Passover in Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims had come. You could hear the cry of the sheep in the distance who would soon be slain as the Passover lambs. And Jesus knew it would be his turn to die for us on that bloody cross. So he took the unleavened bread of the Passover and he took it in his hands and he took the cup and he reassigned to them brand new meanings. And we'll talk about that more in a moment, but the Apostle Paul gives us a stern warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we should never receive the cup and the bread in an unthoughtful or flippant manner, but instead we should prepare our hearts. We should clean up, and let's do that as we pray. Oh, gracious Father, we stand in awe of your love for us as demonstrated by the cross. You received what you did not deserve, the cross, so that we could receive what we did not deserve. That is your love and the gift of eternal life. Right now, we ask, Father, that you help us, purify us, cleanse us. Let us fully comprehend what you did on our behalf as we take this bread and cup. We pray for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took the bread. Thank you. Thank you so much, Daliana and Anna. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and Jesus made it white as snow. I wish I would have ordered these little wafers of bread in a heart shape for today. Because you're holding more than a little wafer of bread. You're basically holding God's Valentine to you. And his Valentine would say, I love you. I love you with an unceasing, unconditional love. I love you more than you can comprehend. I love you a whole cross full. So as you take this little piece of bread, remember what Jesus instructed. He said, this bread now represents my body. And his body was brutalized, like that bread broken, beaten, bloodied for you. For you. And they took the bread. Then Jesus took the common cup, and he explained to the disciples that from this day forward, the cup would have a new assigned meaning. This would be a representative of the new covenant that had been formed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now remember, we learned in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of our sin. You see, blood represents life. And when blood was shed, it meant that that blood would cover your sin debt. It would cover your sin stain. So that's what Jesus was referring to. This is not the old covenant anymore. This is the new covenant created by his shed blood. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin. And they took the cup. Thank you. Thank you so much, Christy, for representing and communicating God's invitation. Don't run from him, run to him. Come home. Come home. Sometimes at Christmas we sing a song that I love called Written in Red. And that song basically says the same great truth that Christy was singing, that God loves you so much, he wrote you a note in red. And as you look at this red liquid in this cup, this little thimble of grape juice, it is so much more, because this represents the blood of Christ shed on your behalf. Peter, with simple profoundness, explained that we are not fixed, we are not redeemed when we are broken by silver or gold, but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So as we take this cup, he has written in red that you are loved more than you can comprehend. And they took the cup.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.